Well, greetings and salutations, one and all. Back again is the Super View Show's mixed bag coming to you from two caves tonight. As always, I'm joined by my esteemed friend and panel of panelists here at the Super View Show, Bill Murphy. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, my friend. How are you?
Doing just fine, my friend. Just fine. Just a friendly reminder, everyone, that we the best podcast.
We the best podcast.
Yes, yes, yes. So, for those of you who don't know and are not aware of this, last week we started part one of four of our quote unquote Mount Rushmore. We did our top four singers we did last week on Wednesday, and now it is Wednesday, January 28th, 2026. Here we are today talking about our Mount Rushmore of movie directors. What directors do we see on our Mount Rushmore of directors? So yeah. This should be a good one. So it's going to work like this. Bill and I are going to, we're going to list off our 4, 3, 2, and 1, and then we're going to be good. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Bill Murphy, why don't you go first with who is your number four director?
Okay. This is in no particular order, but my number four would be Stanley Kubrick.
Okay. Tell me more.
Stanley Kubrick is the classic, just dark, eerie, you gotta let his dark, eerie atmosphere, whether it be The Shining, whether it be Full Metal Jacket, whether it be, you know, he is just the king of atmosphere.
Yes.
Like the two movies I just mentioned, Full Metal Jacket and The Shining. He know, like, for instance, the scene in The Shining, he just lets the music, the do, 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 do. He just lets it play out. And then that scene when the blood is just falling is like, oh my God, it brings chills down your spine. Mm. And just his slowness, his eeriness, it's just... it's just, oh, dude. Absolutely love it. And, or that scene in Full Metal Jacket, just when the guy's about to shoot on the drill sergeant.
Yep.
How he just sets it up and then just goes crazy and shoots him.
Mm. Yeah.
I just, so much I could say about Stanley Kubrick. His, wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All his film, and, you know, even going back to Dr. Strangelove, where it has a little bit of satire, the gentlemen, you can't fight here. This is the war room.
Mm.
And
did he not do a Clockwork Orange too, if I'm not mistaken?
He did do a Clockwork Orange.
Right, I forgot about that.
Just the grittiness in that, it's insane.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
2001, A Space Odyssey. To me, his big thing, and I just said this, is his atmosphere.
Mm. Absolutely.
It's just his atmosphere.
Yeah, totally, man. Totally.
And that's why I love Kubrick, and that's why I think he belongs on that Mount Rushmore.
Okay. All right. Now, Bill pointed something out before I go to my number four. Bill pointed out something very specific as well. So when we say our Mount Rushmore, these are no particular order, but these are just our four, like our main ones that we would go to or say some of the best of the best in our minds. I'm getting over a little bit of a cold. Forgive me. But yeah. So anyways, Stanley Kubrick, great pick, but my number four for my Mount Rushmore list is, again, this is in no particular order, but when you're talking about one of the most iconic directors of the 20th century of film, even the 21st century for that matter, you would have to be remiss and fully baffled if you don't bring up Martin Scorsese. Martin Scorsese.
Agreed.
Yeah, I mean, you have to, because he's not, he's, he is one of the best to ever do it, and with Goodfellas, and like obviously his old plethora of mob films. Like Scorsese is just I think Goodfellas might be my favorite film. He has Taxi Driver. He's done, you know, I can go down like a plethora of his films, but Scorsese to me is one of the biggest and best to ever do it, in my opinion. I'm like Taxi Driver. He's the one who wrote the script. Are you talking to me? You know, the guy just even I know he didn't do Scarface in 1983, right? I forgot.
No, that was Ryan De Palma.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, excuse me. But he has done. He did the Wolf of Wall Street. He's done Casino Royale. He's done Raging Bull. Like the guy has done so many movies over the years. It's like he's one of the best to ever do it, in my opinion. I guess like Taxi Driver, even The Irishman for Netflix. That's another one too. I think my favorite films of him. My favorite film is by Goodfellas. That's just my personal preference on Martin Scorsese and Goodfellas and my favorite film of his. But yeah, Goodfellas has to be up there. It's one of the best movies of all time too, if I'm not mistaken, right, Bill?
Right.
So, but yeah, but I don't want to go too. I could really go in depth with them, but Scorsese up there is one of my favorite on my Mount Rushmore of directors. So yeah, why don't we jump over to your number three, bud? What do you have for number three?
Guess what, dude?
No way.
We swipe right.
Woohoo!
Yeah, my next one is Marty Scorsese.
How about that? Talk about that.
Marty Scorsese is just no everything you said. I 100% agree with.
Mm.
I love his grittiness, his realness. Whether it be Taxi Driver or Raging Bull, which I haven't seen in its entirety, but Goodfellas, which is my favorite Scorsese movie.
Mine too.
You just love the... And you know what I love about those type of movies? Wolf of Wall Street, which would probably be a close second. The Departed, which is freaking amazing.
Oh my God, I forgot about that one.
And it only took him years to... It only took him years to... whatchamacallit? It only took him years to finally win an Oscar.
Yeah, like literally years.
It only took him years to finally win an Oscar.
Mm-hmm.
And he just has that realness, that grittiness, and his line and the movies from his movies are absolutely quotable. Like,
you talking to me? Yeah, you talking to me? Exactly.
You talking to me?
You talking to me? Taxi Driver, so good. So good.
And how am I funny? Am I like a clown? I amuse you? I make you laugh? I'm here to fucking amuse you?
Yeah. I'm good, fellas. Yeah, totally.
And
so good.
You probably don't know this. Wolf of Wall Street, I'm not leaving. I'm not fucking leaving!
Literally, yeah.
Like that is just absolutely those movies. Scorsese is amazing. I love all of his movies. He's just and he just screams New York.
He really does. He really screams New York City for the most part.
He really does scream New York City. Like how most Stephen King books take place in Maine, most Marty Scorsese movies take place in New York.
Yes, that is correct. So, yeah.
Yeah, so that's my next one. All right, over to you.
All right, well, cool. Let's jump over to the next one, shall we? So my number three on my Mount Rushmore of filmmakers, some of the best directors to ever do it. And you have to, I mean, even if you're not, even if you only know one of his movies, which I'm going to mention in a second, but even if you only know the one most iconic movie with the iconic scene in the movie, but Alfred Hitchcock, man, that dude, Alfred Hitchcock, if I could spell it right, Alfred Hitchcock, yeah, that dude was a cinematic mastermind of a director. He, like, people, I feel like people should, if you're looking to, if you're looking to direct or study film and study how certain camera angles work or certain concepts, like I want to bring it up, but Psycho, the movie Psycho, I think Bill and I talked about this at one point with Justin as well. We did our marathons of our movies through the decades. If I'm not mistaken, bud, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't the movie Psycho teach film critics and film fans to kill off the main character? Because the Janet Leigh character of Marion Crane,
yeah, she dies very early on in the movie.
Yeah, she dies like what, halfway through it? I don't know the exact runtime of it, but like the main character dies. Before that, that was not even a thought in general. That was not even a consideration by most standards of film. And you know, he directed. Obviously, everyone knows Psycho. Everyone knows like that scene, of course, in the shower. But if you haven't, if you have not seen Psycho, get on it. It's a fantastic film, one of the best movies of all time, arguably. But what I'm going to say is that Hitchcock is, he also directed, I can only justify for a few of these, but Vertigo with Jimmy Stewart, North by Northwest, and what's the one with Rearview Window. He directed so many great films from the 50s and 60s. That are some of the most iconic movies of all time. Like Vertigo is up there in the best, probably the best conversation about the best movies of all time. Psycho's up there. But he also directed like thriller films too. And also, he was a director that kind of pushed boundaries in a sense. Like, if you're looking to study film, don't just watch Psycho because it's a great movie. I'm not saying don't watch it. I'm saying watch that one. Watch Vertigo with James Stewart. Watch, North by Northwest. And he also pushed, when I say he pushed boundaries, Alfred Hitchcock pushed boundaries as far as like having like, I mean, it was the 50s too, like with like the sexual revolution was just around the corner, like with the 60s and stuff like that. But he really pushed the envelope of how film actors would address and act on stage. I like this certain like chemistry between actors. And he was a true visionary of film, and he is forever missed. But his work will never be forgotten. So he's on my personal Mount Rushmore. And number three is Alfred Hitchcock from Psycho, Vertigo, North by Northwest, The Birds. Oh my God, that's a scary concept. The Birds. If you've never seen The Birds, get on it. It is such a great movie, guys. The Birds from the early 60s. So good. So good.
I'm going to have to say, guess what? Hitchcock too. Because no, you know why? What? Yeah, right. I think we have the same brain, which is terrifying.
Like a little bit, not gonna lie, but that's a going.
But no, because everything you just said, because how I said with Kubrick with atmosphere, because you know how Hitchcock builds up the atmosphere is with silence.
Yes.
And just like that just builds up the atmosphere right there. It's absolutely terrifying. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, the only really Hitchcock movie I saw was Psycho.
Yeah.
But No, I actually watched it for the first time this summer.
What'd you think of it?
I thought it was great.
Yeah.
It held up. I was kind of embarrassed because I call myself such a movie buff and I didn't see Psycho until fairly recently.
Yeah. Like Rear Window and North by Northwest are a little lesser known than that, but they're still pretty famous amongst cinema. So.
Because you know what's also... His presentation, though, not just in the film, but did you know, which is pretty cool, is if you've ever seen the, you've seen the trailer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for Psycho, yeah, I have.
And it's just how, I love how they're just all like, how it's just Alfred Hitchcock walking through the house where it was filmed.
Yeah, just that 6-minute trailer, right?
Yeah, where he's like, hello, we are at this house. And the music is so fun in the background. Right here, a murder has taken place. Dun. And then the music just changes. Mm. And he's just given a tour of the house. And he goes, it's too horrible to describe.
Yeah.
But no, that and also... Ever seen Alfred Hitchcock Presents?
Yes. Yep.
That was Tales to the Crypt before Tales to the Crypt. Do 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 do. Good evening.
Yeah.
Like Hitchcock just build up the atmosphere, build up silence, and that's why he belongs on Mount Rushmore.
Totally. Couldn't agree more. So yeah, that's our number three. So we did 4-3. We're up to number two already. Holy cow, my God.
Yeah, this is going quick.
Fast episode tonight. Way to go. All right. So Bill, I hate to be that guy, but you and I are so much on the similar wavelength that it's insane. I have this guy at number two because you've mentioned him before, but Stanley Kubrick.
Oh God, we have the same list.
I wonder if our number one's the same. That's okay though. It's okay.
I guarantee you, we have the same number one.
I wouldn't be surprised at that, but I'm sure we'll get that in a second. So, it's okay. It's fine. Excuse me. So with Stanley Kubrick though, Bill went into a little bit of a tangent. I'm not gonna go too far into it, but just to recap what Bill said and piggyback onto it. Stanley Kubrick was a visionary. He directed some of the most intense epic films of all time. I would say, like, he directed 2001: A Space Odyssey, one of my favorite movies of all time, one of my grandfather's favorite movies of all time, as I'm sitting in his house recording this. You know, thanks Pop. But obviously you had The Shining, you had Full Metal Jacket, you had Clockwork Orange. Like, the guy was such a true artist is an understatement, to say the least. The dude was just so good and so iconic in so many different ways. He really, like, the way that Alfred Hitchcock directed films in the 50s and 60s, I feel like Stanley Kubrick took that element of, like, horror or suspense or thriller to the next level in the 70s and 80s. Like, I'm not – Hitchcock died in, like, what, like, the 80s? Or I forget when he died. But, like –
he died in the 80s.
Yeah, so if Hitchcock died in the 80s, Kubrick died, what, 99 maybe, 2001?
Yeah, he died in 99.
So, yeah. So Kubrick was around for a lot longer, and I feel like Kubrick and Hitchcock, like, are some of the best ever. Dude, of course. But, I mean, come on. Stanley Kubrick, like, come on. You don't get any more iconic than, like, films like 2001, which I actually saw recently, too, back in theaters, and I did not fall asleep. You'd be very proud of me, Bill. You'd be very proud of me.
I'm very proud of you.
I saw it back in theaters when it got released. Not too long ago, I said, I'm going to see it in theaters. And it was a totally different, because I've said this before, I'll say it again, I'm going off on a tangent, I know. But if you go see a movie that is being re-released from, like, the 20th century, like a 60s movie or a 70s movie back in theaters, like I saw E.T. back on the big screen for its 40th anniversary in 2022. That was pretty cool. That was pretty cool, seeing E.T. back, like, the whole, like, in front of the bicycle in front of the moonshot on the big screen was so much fun. Same thing, 2001: A Space Odyssey. Like, it's just seeing it on the big screen was, like, so great and such a great. Movies are meant to be seen in theaters. They're not all meant to be on streaming. I'm just going to put that out there. Anyways, I digress. Stanley Kubrick, one of the best ever do it. He's on my Mount Rushmore, too. I think Bill and I have the same number one. I'm not going to
lie. You know what? Since we probably, I'm about 90% sure we have the same number one.
Yeah.
So, you know what? To delay, I'm delaying the inevitable here.
Oh, boy.
Have any honorable mentions?
No.
I have a few.
Sure, go ahead. What do you got?
Quentin Tarantino.
Oh, he's fantastic.
I have Quentin Tarantino on my list.
He's fantastic, too.
I also have, you know, just like this realism 90s.
A visionary.
Yeah, Pulp Fiction, great movie.
Yep, Inglourious Basterds.
Inglourious Basterds, which, you know, 90s, 2000s, really loved Inglourious Basterds. And even movies I wasn't really particularly fond of, like The Hateful Eight.
Mm.
The ending is actually very good. Yeah. You know why, JT? You know why the ending is the best part?
Why?
It ended!
There you go, yeah.
I was trying to do the two old guys in the balcony from the Muppets. But anyway, but no, there is a scene like throughout the film, Samuel L. Jackson's character has a letter from supposedly from Abraham Lincoln, but it turned out to be fake. And then at the end, when him and this guy who they don't really get along, but then when they kill this person and they just, hey, can I see that letter? And they're reading it together. And it's actually a very nice moment. And that's how the movie ends. And I just want to say, Tarantino style, whatever it is, Pulp Fiction, Inglourious Basterds, Django Unchained, people gotta know. It's like when I went to go see Hateful Eight, I went with Justin. I don't know if Justin remembers. There were people behind us who walked out.
Really?
Because they thought it was too much. I'm like, you gotta know what you're getting yourself into here, man. It's Tarantino.
Yeah, it's Quentin Tarantino. It's not just any other director. It's Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah, but he's on my honorable mentions. Also, Tim Burton.
Oh, yeah, we can talk about him too.
I just love his dark, creepy atmosphere.
Oh, yeah, his films are so like dark, but so heartfelt at the same time.
Beetlejuice, Batman, Edward Scissorhands. I love Nightmare Before Christmas, but he didn't direct it. He produced it, so sorry.
But either way.
But, no, like all the – I love Sweeney Todd. I love his films. They just give that quirky gothic atmosphere. Edward Scissorhands, one of my favorite movies. He's just a visionary. Okay, without further ado, you know what? I'm just going to tell you.
I have one honorable mention too, if that's okay.
Okay.
Because before we get to like our obvious number one, I think I know what you're thinking, Bill. But one more honorable mention for us is actually James Cameron.
Okay.
Because like, if you take, I mean, regardless how everyone feels about the Avatar films, I genuinely speaking like them. I know Bill's not a fan of them, but if you really take into consideration how many films James Cameron has made, all of them are some of the best movies of all time, like True Lies, Terminator 1, Terminator 2. What's the other one he did? I forgot. He did also Titanic.
Like the 3-hour the movie that just doesn't end.
I know. Oh, painful. It's great, but it's just, you know. So, anyways, I don't know. Just James Cameron. I want to just touch on him for a second. James Cameron is up there for sure. As, like, one of the – he's directed, like True Lies. He directed Terminator 1, Terminator 2. He directed Avatar, the highest grossing film of all time. He's just done – everything he touches is great. So, in my opinion, at least, excluding the most recent Avatar film, which I liked, but still, it was like not as good as I thought it was going to be. Anyways, James Cameron. All right, now we can go to the big one, right?
All right, you know what? I'll say who it is, and I'm about 99% sure we're going to be on the same page at this one, aren't we?
I wouldn't be surprised either, but go ahead.
Okay, the number one. Here we go. You ready?
Yes.
Steven Spielberg.
Yep, how'd you know? Bill and I are thinking on the same wavelength tonight.
Yeah, so what can we say about Spielberg?
You go first.
Wow, this is...
Yeah.
God, I don't know what to say. Okay, I know what to say. Spielberg, he just has range. Like, he can do... You know, starting off with the movie that made us terrified of that shut down a whole summer activity.
Jaws, yeah.
Yeah, remember when we did our first summer movie bracket and your father never let me hear the end of it.
Oh, yeah, because Empire Strikes Back beat Jaws, that's right.
And he's like, people would, it shut down a whole summer activity.
Because of sharks.
People didn't go swimming after this.
Ay, ay, ay. That is true, but still.
People didn't even go swimming after that.
Yeah, and that's just one of his movies. This is one of his first films.
And then, of course, the Indiana Jones movies.
Yep, all of them, except for the most recent one, but yeah.
Was that Lucas who did the recent one?
No, actually, James Mangold, the guy who directed Logan, directed it. Dial of Destiny. I liked it, but it was really expensively made. It became a box office flop.
The Indiana Jones movies. Yeah, you know, which can be those whimsical... But, you know, going back to Jaws, it really... Again, it shows the question, what's more scary? What you see or what you hear?
Exactly.
just when you hear the two notes.
I mean, and then, the guy, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, or the joke, or which has one of the most iconic lines, the "I think we're gonna need a bigger boat."
Yeah.
And I mean, the shark, he's just out there, he's like,
yeah,
he's like just out there, he's like, hey, guys, I'm going for my morning swim here. It's beach season. I gotta get my shark bod ready.
Exactly. Yeah. No, you're right.
Hey, I said fish are friends. People are fair game.
Exactly. Oh God.
But
yeah, I mean, he's directed, arguably speaking, objectively speaking, some of the best movies, widely received and critically acclaimed and box office phenomenon of all time.
No, Spielberg is, yeah, so yeah, Indiana Jones, absolutely great. And then when you get into like the more the whimsical films, like it shows you his range. Like in 1993, Jurassic Park.
He brought dinosaurs to life.
It's that movie that just makes you believe in stuff.
Yeah.
You welcome to Jurassic Park. You
yeah.
And because just why that's such a year of range, 1993, you have
Schindler's List.
And then you also have Schindler's List, which, you know, how we said how Scorsese took him nearly 20 years to win his first Oscar. Yeah, it took Spielberg about 18 years.
Yeah, to win his first Oscar. That's right.
He was first nominated for what is it?
Jurassic Park and Schindler's List.
He was first nominated for Jaws in 75, and he didn't win until Schindler's List in 1993.
That's crazy. He's directed and like E.T. I mean,
close to E.T.
Close to Cars of the Third Kind.
Do 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 do.
Sing that.
Like,
yeah, it's just.
Like getting back to Schindler's List, I was about to say it's about Schindler's List. I think what's so,
yeah,
I think what drove him to read that, and I've said this story before, is growing up as a Jewish man, Spielberg faced a lot of anti-Semitism from his family growing up. Did
mm-hmm.
like. There's actually this story, and I watched this whole documentary he did, Spielberg, on himself.
Yes.
Or I don't think he did it on himself. He said that when he was a kid, his grandfather would call him by his Hebrew name, Shmuel. And he hated that.
Yeah.
But then he said, when I watched this movie, he said, when I made this film, I kind of feel bad for feeling embarrassed about what my grandfather did.
Yeah.
He was just trying to preserve our heritage.
Right.
And that's why, you know, he was just trying to preserve our heritage. And he just felt bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just and then, you know, going through all of his films, his two Oscars. Yeah, and he should have had three Oscars. He should have had four. Yeah, I'm still bitter about that. Shakespeare in Love beating Saving Private Ryan. Give me a break.
Yeah. That's uncalled for.
Give me a fucking break.
Yeah, that's insane.
Yeah, still sorry, that thing. Still pisses me off after all these years. Anyway.
No, you're good.
Yeah, but no, now's not the time for me to sit here and rant about stuff that happened 27 years ago. Yeah. Or almost 28 years ago. But Spielberg is just such a... He's got range. He's got the man is a genius.
He can do comedy, drama, sci-fi, action, adventure, and you name it.
The man is an absolute genius.
He actually has a movie coming out later this year, Bill, too.
Really? What is it? I didn't hear about this.
It's called Disclosure Day. It's a sci-fi film he's doing.
Really?
Yeah. It's coming out, and I have the date right here. It comes out in June 12th of this year. It's the most, his next film.
That is a man who can do anything, I'm telling
yeah.
you.
Yeah. He is, the arguably speaking, the best director of all time.
He is the GOAT.
It's hard to top a director who has consistently made, and not just directed, but produced literally hundreds of movies. He's produced hundreds of movies too. Aside from directing, he's produced hundreds of movies.
Oh, he has.
So, I mean, you want, but yeah, bottom line, guys, that's pretty much our Mount Rushmore is Kubrick, Hitchcock, Scorsese, and Steven Spielberg. That's pretty much, if you want to talk about like the best directors to ever do it, there's your, I think our list tonight is pretty much is like, I think our list tonight, Bill, is pretty much like the general consensus too for film fans, if I'm not mistaken, right?
I think it is the general consensus once you think about it. Damn, yeah. Dude, we're boring.
Well, I don't think we're boring. I think we hit the nail on the head on just what we think is like our Mount Rushmore. So that makes sense. So are we all set?
Yeah, I think we're all set. Are you all set?
I'm good over here. So we want to thank you for watching, listening, however you enjoyed us tonight. Thanks so much for tuning to our podcast, as always. I want to thank this fine gentleman, Bill Murphy, for doing this podcast with me as always for all these years now, literal years since 2020. So crazy.
Yeah, I had a time last month where I was out, but I'm back.
Yep. He's back. Bill is back. Tell a friend.
Yeah, I'm back. Back in the New York groove.
Yes. Rest in peace, really.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah. So,
and also,
Bill, you have a sports thing? That's right.
Sports Insanity Podcast, the Sports Insanity Network. Don't forget to check us out. We are on all platforms. And next week it's going to be our Super Bowl show. It's either going to be Saturday or Sunday.
Crazy.
We don't know what day yet. I'm actually having a meeting this evening about that. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, just stay tuned for that. Don't forget to check out our Super Bowl show in which we're going to preview the big game. I can't believe the Super Bowl is next week already.
That's insane. It's literally coming up this coming Sunday.
Oh, next Sunday.
Oh, whoops. Sorry. Wrong day. February 7th. Not the first.
Yeah. And you know what I've just noticed? Next year, since the Super Bowl is now the second Sunday in February, people, next year, the Super Bowl is going to be on Valentine's Day.
Oh, dear God.
So a lot of women are not going to be happy next year.
Nah, 2027 is going to be a weird year for everyone in that case. So let's put it that way.
But that would also be President's Day weekend. So look at the bright side. We got a long weekend.
Yeah. Woohoo. There we go.
For something.
There we go. Yeah.
But, don't forget to check out Super Bowl, our Super Bowl show next week. I'll let you know when it is. So from the J-Man and myself, stay safe.
Take care. And
be awesome. Yeah.